I ask that you pray with me that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to the Lord. Amen. I believe that many of you are wondering about the title of my talk today, Hot Air Balloons and Jonah and the Whale. And you are wondering, what do hot air balloons have to do with Jonah and the Whale? Well, let's see. 3 weeks ago, my daughter Catherine, my grandsons Jack and Michael, and I visited my son William, his wife Amy, and my grandsons William and Charlie, I'm getting them all in Bridgewater, New Jersey, where we went to see the Hot Air Balloon Festival, which is held in July each year in that area. The boys, especially Jack, enjoy watching the balloons in the air and chasing them to see where they come down. The owners of the balloons usually let the children help take the air out of the balloons once they are down. Photos are allowed of the children standing in the basket, etc. It's really a wonderful experience. This is the first year that we actually went into the festival itself. We usually watch the balloons from afar and find balloons when they come down, which is usually not on festival grounds. This year, on the Saturday, the actual day we had tickets, it rained. The weather was not safe enough for the balloons to go up in the evening. The hot air balloons go up twice a day, weather permitting, in the early morning and in the early evening. But Jack and Michael and I sat at the fence waiting to see if they would go up. The balloons and baskets were all packed away in their owners' trailers on the other side of the fence. But if the balloons were going to go up, we could have watched them fill up with air and see all the preparations that go with balloons going up. And at 8 o'clock, 1 hour after they were scheduled to go up, the night's balloon flights were canceled. But they announced that the weather would be fine in the morning and the balloons would go on the next day, Sunday. But before we got the announcement about the cancellation, a lady walked up to her car on the other side of the fence. The car was a Corvette, and it was red, white, and blue, and it looked like the American flag. She went into her car and came out with cards in her hand, and she walked along the fence distributing them. She gave us cards with a picture of the American flag balloon. And there was information about it on the card. She was very nice. Jack and Michael were happy to get the cards. It took some of the disappointment away about the weather and the balloons not flying that night. So on Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m., we were at a viewing point, and around 7 a.m., we watched as over 40 balloons soared in the distance. They were all sorts of colors, shapes, and themes. Many were the standard round balloons with stripes and designs, and then there was Darth Vader, a yellow smiley balloon, a penguin balloon, a birthday cake, a green alligator or dragon, and a rectangular American flag balloon. I don't remember if SpongeBob or a motorcycle was there, but I do know they have these balloons. I do not know if you have ever seen hot air balloons soaring in the sky, but it is a beautiful sight, and it reminds you of the beauty of God's earth, the blue sky, some white clouds, and colorful balloons. After a while, we figured out what direction the balloons were flying in, and we were off to see them land. Last year, we were lucky to be in a spot where the red barn with a cow actually landed, and Jack, Michael, and little William actually helped take that one down. We didn't see the red barn this year. This year, we stopped at a park to get our bearings, and what did we see? The American flag balloon landing in the next field over, and then it struggled up and came over the trees and landed right in front of us. And then we saw their balloon chaser with their trailer and the lady driving the American flag corvette. Jack, Michael, and William helped with the balloon. I held little Charlie, and the parents took photos and helped also. And the nice lady gave Jack and Michael additional cards with pictures of their other balloons, the spaceship and the lighthouse. It was a wonderful experience, and I cannot help wondering about the coincidence of meeting the American flag balloon lady the night before and actually seeing the American flag balloon land in front of us. Now, the following Saturday, I drove to Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, Amish country, to meet with my son John, his wife Carolyn, my grandchildren, Josie and Simon, also known as Sammy. My daughter-in-law, Carolyn, had suggested that instead of meeting in the city to go to the theater in New York last January, that I join them and her parents in Pennsylvania to see a production of Jonah and the Whale. I agreed because it was an opportunity to see them, as I do not see them very often because they live in Northern Virginia. But I really was not happy to drive all that distance to see Jonah and the Whale. And I could not see how Jonah and the Whale could be made into such a performance that one would drive 4.5 hours to see it. And to be perfectly honest, why would I want to see Jonah and the Whale? And it turned out I was wrong. But the important thing was that I was seeing John and his family. As children, we all learned about Jonah not obeying God and how he fled, got into a boat, was thrown off the boat, and was swallowed by a whale or great fish. In Sunday school, we probably even colored the whale. While Jonah was in the whale, we learned he prayed to God and repented, and he was spit out of the whale. Jonah then obeyed God, and he went to Nineveh and told the people to repent or they would be destroyed. But I guess I missed or never realized that there was more to Jonah's story than that simple description, and now I was able to find out what I missed. So I drove to Lancaster County, met my son, his family, had lunch, got into a traffic jam, yes, a traffic jam on Route 30 in Lancaster County, and then drove to the theater. And was I surprised? It was a huge, magnificent building in the middle of nowhere, and it had a large parking area and a big area for buses. Apparently, busloads of people, many of them church groups, come from all over the country to see these productions. The theater must have seated over 2,000 people, and all three performances that day were sold out. As a matter of fact, most performances this summer were sold out, and tickets were going fast for others. Some of you may have heard of this theater, the Sight and Sound Theater. There's another one in Branson, Missouri, and that theater is doing Joseph, the Joseph with the many colors coat. So now I'm in my seat, and I am pleasantly surprised. The acting and music were excellent. The sets were beautiful. Jonah's hometown, Joppa, Nineveh, the sea, the lighting, and the special effects, wonderful. And they even had live animals on the stage walking up and down the aisles. Camels and donkeys and horses, geese, cows, and a skunk. The skunk wasn't in the aisle, too. So we get the sound, the sight and sound. The whole first act was about Jonah and his family and his town and how God spoke to Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh and tell the people to repent because they would be destroyed in 40 days if they did not. Please note, we're going to see the number 40. That is many times in the Bible. It's a symbol. By the way, in this production, Jonah is dressed in black and white. The production people felt that he had an all or nothing view of the world, hence black and white. And then while he was fleeing, he met the skunk, black and white. And yes, the skunk actually sprayed him. So there, they said that he was sprayed, that sin stinks. Jonah does not want to go to Nineveh because he is afraid and because he does not like the people because they are wicked. He flees, goes in the opposite direction to Joppa, gets on a boat to Tarsus to get farther away. The boat is huge and actually looks like a whale. A great storm does come down about. The boat is jumping all over the place, and the frightened sailors who are on board draw lots and throw Jonah off the boat. Visually, this is done really well, and Jonah sinks. My son whispers, "Did you see the wire on Jonah as they threw him off the boat?" Anyway, before the first act ends, and after Jonah is thrown into the sea calms, and the sailors realize that they have been spared as the storm has stopped, and they give thanks to God and vow to worship him. The end of Act 1. In the beginning of the second act, there is sort of a movie of a whale in the ocean, and there are people holding fish dancing around the stage, and then we see the whale. It looks like a huge balloon, a big blue balloon. And two people hold it, and they comes off the stage, walks up the center aisle, right where we are, so it was right above us, walks behind us, and goes back up the left side. It reminded me of the week before with all the balloons. There's your little bit of a connection. It was great. I just said that. It reminded me of my experiences with my other grandchildren the week before. So we get the connection, hot air balloons, and Jonah and the whale being a huge balloon. The story continued and followed the Bible story faithfully. Jonah prayed inside the whale. After 3 days, the Lord had the whale spit Jonah out. Please note the number of days is 3, another significant number in the Bible. Jonah obeyed God and went to Nineveh, told the people that their city would be destroyed, and the people and their king wore sackcloth and ashes and repented. They realized that God was sovereign. Jonah was not happy that the people repented because he felt they should be punished for their wicked ways, and he sat and watched, waiting for the destruction. A vine grew and gave Jonah shade, and then the worm ate the roots and it died. It was a stuffed worm. It wasn't a real worm this time. Nineveh was not destroyed, and Jonah was upset. And God, in the form of Jesus, spoke to Jonah again. And Jonah finally got the message that God is a loving and merciful God. It ended with the people rejoicing and praising God, Jonah hugging the Ninevites, and Jesus looking down on them from the steps of the high building. So what did I learn from seeing Jonah and the whale? As I must say, I either did not remember or never realized that after 3 days in the whale, Jonah's hair and skin turned white. That Jonah did not want the people of Nineveh to repent, that he wanted them destroyed. That the wine grew to give him shade, and that a worm came and ate the roots. That in the book of Matthew, the passage that Piggy read this morning, Jesus refers to Jonah as a precursor of his being in the tomb for 3 days. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the big, huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That the story of Jonah is actually the story of a miracle. And I would also like to add that in reading for this talk, the story of Jonah is also in the Quran. I would like to say that the book of Jonah highlights God's patience and loving kindness and his willingness to give those who disobey him, her, a second chance. That from the book of Jonah, we learn that God is sovereign. He controls the weather and the great fish to achieve his ends. God's message is for the whole world, not just for people we like or who are similar to us. God requires genuine repentance. He is concerned with our heart and true feelings, not good deeds meant to impress others. Finally, God is forgiving. He forgave Jonah for his disobedience, and he forgave the Ninevites when they turned away from their sins. And now I ask you some questions for you to ponder this coming week. How many times does God ask us to do something and we, like Jonah, turn away? Do we also end up in a dark place? Aren't we sometimes like Jonah and do not feel that we are able to do the job, or just do not want to do it? Aren't we sometimes like Jonah and do not... Oops, I did that one. Are we merciful? Do we, like Jonah, want people who are not nice to us to suffer the consequences? Have we learned to forgive? Do we remember that God loves us and forgives us even if we turn away and not do what he or she wants? What else can we learn from Jonah? Before I conclude, I just want to say that I feel very blessed to have had two such wonderful experiences, two weekends in a row seeing my grandchildren and how they connected. With each trip, one could see God in everything. And if you've listened to me before, you know I like to end my talk by saying, God loves each and every one of us. Amen.